Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's a controversy, and I'm curious your opinion on said controversy.
Yes.
Tim Saunders is the Philadelphia Flyers play-by-play announcer, and he was calling the Flyers game the other day, and during a commercial break, he was caught on a hot mic. We have the audio of the hot mic incident. We will play it for you, and you tell us if this is, like, you know, suspendable, non-suspendable, how you feel about the hot mic moment. So, did I offer enough setup, Tommy, or is there anything I should add to the setup before we play this Tim Saunders clip?
Well, I think it's important to know that we bleeped out the word that I assume got him suspended. So it's a little bit of the imagination has to run wild.
Well, right. In fairness,
will we know the word via context?
I think so, and it's more not the word than it is the action.
Fair, that's fair.
That
You're
was
right.
requested.
That's a good point.
So I don't think it's specifically the word. It's just that the word tells you the action, and the action was maybe not appropriate.
Got it.
So again, here is Tim Saunders, Flyers play-by-play announcer, going to break and thinking he's at commercial break.
Sometimes the Flyers get a sense of urgency when they're playing from behind. Now they're going to take the TV timeout. We'll take it as well. Seven gone in the third. It's 3-2 Buffalo on the Philadelphia Flyers Broadcast Network. While you're down there, would you mind me?
I think we're still on the air, Tim.
No, we're not, are we?
Yes, they were.
Oh, my gosh.
So, your thoughts? I mean, suspendable, innocent joke.
No, your thoughts? That's suspendable.
You got to suspend them?
Yes, definitely.
Tim Saunders has been suspended for two games as the Philadelphia Flyers play-by-play boy.
So should his producer as well.
For leaving the mic on?
Or the board op, or whoever.
You're only as good as your board op.
No, you're right. Immediately, as soon as the segment's over, you pull it down. You have to. You have to for stuff like that.
For those that want context, it was his analyst who sits next to him, obviously analyzing the game, job you have done in football and still do. And he was the person, I guess, going down to pick something up.
Yeah.
And that's what sparked that inappropriate comment.
Obviously a joke between colleagues, should be nothing because nobody should have heard it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we all did.
The thing I can't get past is that it sounds like Bob Uecker during Major League. it really sounded like it was, this is a movie line and it's really funny and it's uncensored and ha ha ha. The way he delivered it was like I was watching a movie. Mm. It wasn't delivered like someone who was genuinely making a joke in the middle of a Flyers-Sabres game.
But again, we don't know him, so we don't know what his personality is like.
Yeah.
It could be perfectly on par for him.
Oh, that's a shame.
You know what I feel good about? Because if we're going to be fair about this, suspend him. He's not going to get fired. I don't think he should get fired.
No, I don't think so either.
It's a suspension. We all move on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Were you ever suspended?
Ever
do anything that guy?
Fired. I punched the long snapper because he hit me after I called for a fair catch. I didn't catch the ball. I just called for a fair catch and ran the other way because it was inside the 10, and he hit me.
You punched the long snapper?
Yeah.
Like your teammate?
No. The opposing long snapper.
Oh, that's right. That's right, because you're...
Yes, I was punt returning.
God, I'm so confused. You're right. Okay, so you punched an opponent.
I got fined like $2,500. No, actually, I think it was $5,000, and I appealed, and it came back to $2,500.
And that was the only time?
That was the only time.
That's not bad, because fines are different than suspensions. Obviously, you were not suspended.
No,
I never. Only one fine in your NFL career.
That's right.
So you were never late for a Tom Coughlin meeting?
No, I was always on time.
Look at you. And by that, you mean early.
Early, exactly. 5 minutes early. Actually, you had to be like 6 minutes early, because if you were 5 minutes early, the meeting was starting.
Yes.
And so it was like, what? Okay, if you want the meeting to start at 7:25, just say 7:25.
No, I got you.
Don't say 7:30 and expect us to be there at 7:25.
I got you.
Strahan got fined a lot.
We'll get to the Giants and the Jets coming up in a few minutes and why, unfortunately, the infestation of wanting your team to lose has hit all of us, including myself. Let's go to John in Fanwood, New Jersey.
Like, whoa.
I think John's having another conversation, so we'll put him back on hold. Let's go to Andre in Plainfield. What's up, Andre?
Hey, Andre.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make some points about the Mets' bullpen situation, specifically about Devin Williams. I kind of see parallels to Devin Williams and Edwin Diaz's first year. I think it's possible that next year, maybe Devin Williams got the jitters out of playing his first year last year in New York. I think next year he'll be used to it. He'll be much improved, and he'll actually go back to being a lockdown closer that he was back in Milwaukee.
Well, if you are right about that, then I think we may be looking back at the decision to move on from Edwin Diaz as one that we're not going nuts about. Because Devin Williams was, and I've said this many times, we forget it because of our bias. And I think we have a bias over his year with the Yankees, and we have a bias over the pitch to Pete Alonso. Let's be honest. Those things bias our minds. He's one of the best closers in baseball. So if he can go back to being that guy, then our view on him will change. But the other thing that worries me a little bit, and I admit this is not fair, Tiki, what I'm about to say, is that even before he had his year with the Yankees, and I remember saying this casually to you guys, I said, you know, I'm a little bit worried because he's only had three playoff appearances, and two of them were disastrously bad.
Yeah.
One with the Brewers in 23 against the Diamondbacks in a wild card series, and then obviously what happened against Pete Alonso, and that worries me because obviously you're defined in New York by what you do in the biggest of moments in the postseason. So if Devin does have this brilliant season in the regular season, he saves 45 games, he doesn't blow any, he's back to being elite. If he goes out and the Mets make the postseason and he turns into Armando Benitez, we all know how that goes.
Right.
So it's more than just being an elite-level closer. It's can you be that reliable closer that I think Edwin Diaz really turned into?
Yeah, he was. And now that you have Devin Williams, the question is, are we going to see the Devin Williams from 2022? What year was it? He was hurt in 24. 22?
Well, really, 20, 21, 22, and 23, and 24 were all utterly brilliant seasons.
Right.
Obviously, 24 is the year in which he missed a bunch of time, but when he pitched, he was brilliant. So it's really every year of his career.
Every year except for the beginning of last year.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you... Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but you got to have confidence that that's what you're going to see.
Look, if he pitches to a 1.83 ERA, which is what he did in Milwaukee, I think we'll all be happy. But again, you're going to be defined by what you do in the biggest of moments.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you a great example. And for those that think I'm being too hard, just think of Armando Benitez. It'll obviously solve the issue for you. Devin Williams has a great year. He saves 42 of 45 games, which is great. Pitches to a 1.8 ERA. But the three blown saves, two of them are in September against the Phillies, and one of them is in a Subway Series game, right?
Right.
Think about how we would view it. We would say, yeah, but in the biggest of moments, what did he do? And then come October, the Mets sneak in and make the playoffs, and he blows the one game they have a lead in. Like, that, fair or not, would wipe away all the other brilliance, because that's how
all
we
all the
do.
Confidence, right.
Yeah.
Because it's the moments that matter.
Yeah, nobody's going to care about the zero ERA versus the Nats in four saves.
No, and honestly, like, the best example of this is Armando Benitez, because if you look at his Met numbers, the guy went out and pitched to a great ERA and saved 160 games. He was awesome. So why do we all talk so bad about him? Because he's stuck in the biggest of moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you refer to him.
He was unreliable when early in the season when you were expecting him to be the Devin Williams that we saw in Milwaukee.
Right. But I'm saying
then, and when it mattered, and he got better.
He did.
And then in the moments it mattered, he also was bad.
And that's how we define people, because Benitez was a really good Met closer.
Yeah.
But no one hears that. We just hear the blown moments, specifically game one of the World Series against the Yankees. Let's go to Carmen in Linden, New Jersey. Hey, Carmen.
Hey, Evan. I'm so happy to get through to you and Tiki. I've tried for so long, and I finally was able to get through. I just and I appreciate you, both of you. Let me just make a point that you were talking about before.
Yeah.
As a 76-year-old guy and a Yankee fan from 1954 when Mickey Mantle came up, who's my idol, even when the Mets started to play, I always loved to see Mets win, even though I was a big Yankee fan, but I've always wanted the Mets to win, and I always wished for the Yankees and Mets in a World Series and the Yankees to beat them in seven games. Now I'll get to my point. What Cohen just did, okay, I can understand Diaz. Diaz never showed me that. He always made you sweat. I can never be sure of him. He always had to sweat it out and everything. And he never really, never showed that he was really loved to be with the Mets. Now, with Nimmo and with Pete, first with Nimmo. Whenever I listened to a Met game and Nimmo would come on as the post-game show, he'd always say at the end, "Let's go Mets."
Yeah.
Okay? He showed his love. He loved being a Met. Okay, as far as Pete goes, the history with him being the all-time home run leader and what he did in the community, I can't understand. Even though I know it's about money and it's about getting the best team on the field, I think there's something to be said for two guys that that Mets fans love. Again, I'm a Yankee fan.
No, but I appreciate your point because I do think there is something to be said about it. And David Stearns and Steve Cohen completely disagree with you.
Yeah.
And they disagree with any of us. They looked at this, and I don't want to ever hear, "Oh, yeah, we factored in he's a Met legend." No, you didn't. You didn't care. You were cold-blooded. And by the way, maybe a few years from now we'll look back at that and say we needed that cold-bloodedness. Mm-hmm. We couldn't be emotional. But don't give me this, "We factored it in." Yeah, you really factored it in when you never gave Pete a call and you just let him leave. But I think this was a cold-blooded baseball move. And ultimately, we'll find out if it works.
Yeah, because sometimes you have to be that way. It just sucks when it's the guy who you hoped was going to be your Met-for-life, iconic, 500 home run, potential Hall of Famer, you know, first baseman. That's what you hoped. And who's that going to be? And if it now is somebody else, one of these young kids, it's on the come, it feels like it's still so far away from,
what?
From being and so many more hurdles that whoever that young player is has to jump in order for it to be feel like your own. I mean, Juan Soto's different because he's Juan Soto and he's making $170 million a year and he's going to be here for 15 years. So ultimately, that might be the guy, but I think it would have been so different if it's a homegrown Pete Alonso.
It's all true. Why did you throw that in there? You want to play drops for the first time, Sean?
Yankee fan.
And you throw in my son saying
just
boom Mets?
A Yankee fan.
I mean, come on. Be timely with your drops.
I'm a kid at the toy store right now, right?
All right. Bye. If you're just tuning in, Sean Marash is running the board for the first time in 14 years. And so far, he's done a wonderful job.
So far, because he hasn't done anything.
Well, he just played that.
Exactly.
I looked at Pete more as, does this make the team better? Mm. It wasn't even the emotion, which is a factor, and I appreciate the last caller.
But it does also make the team better.
That's what's bothering me the most.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask me 2 weeks later why you're still not over it, I look at the baseball team, and I think they would have been better, even on a risky five-year deal, having Pete in the middle of the order. Because I think about who's going to protect Juan Soto. I mean, the guy's going to walk 200 times next year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Matt in Northport. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. I was on hold yesterday. I'm glad I got through today with Tiki there.
What's up, dude?
So, Evan, I think you could relate to this type of mindset. My team's horrible. I'm a Dolphins fan. But at the end of the year, when it's like week 15, week 16, and all the playoffs are still like, up in the air. What I do is I write out all the teams in order of playoffs and what games they have left. And what's weird about this year, and it must be a product of like the algorithm or whoever the NFL has making their schedule.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how absurd some of these, like Indianapolis, for example, didn't play their second division game until like week 15?
Yes. Yes.
I have a whole bunch. The Ravens play the Bengals week 13 and 15 and the Steelers week 14 and 18.
Yeah,
the Eagles play the Commanders week 16 and 18. The Bucks and Panthers don't play the first time until week 16. So I'm like, this has got to be a product of a computer thing. But I had kind of an idea that I thought would be
Matt.
Good. And Tiki,
Matt, it is. It is an algorithm. That's why they did it intentionally that way.
Yeah, I would love, and I do know that, like, you know, you love that last week of the season division matchup that sometimes will determine a division, but could you imagine a scenario where, like, I always hate when week one is like Giants Cowboys. It's like week one is an event on its own, like, save that game till you have, but what if you did something where you had, say, 3 weeks in the beginning and 3 weeks at the end when it's not a bye week and you had, like, rivalry weekend and it's nothing but division games? Like, wouldn't that be really good for the NFL?
I mean, it would be. It'd give them something else to promote. Not that they need anything else to promote, but it would give them something that would start the play. You probably have to do. I do it at the beginning of the December because the mantra is play meaningful football in December.
Right.
Right. And so I think that's what they're trying to do, and it's why sometimes you're getting these divisions that have all of these conference games loaded in December. And you hope that it's meaningful, but I agree with him. It feels weird when you're playing a division opponent twice in 3 weeks.
It's terrible.
It doesn't make any sense.
No,
it actually takes away the, like, I don't know, the emotional lift that you get from playing a division opponent with the division on the line, and you're like, all right, we got them in 2 weeks again, anyways.
Right? And you know they did that to the Giants and the Eagles earlier this season. Mm-hmm. And I hated it. Remember when the Giants...
They were back in 3 weeks.
2 and 3 weeks.
Right.
I think it's awful. And the way I would do it, similar to what our last caller said, I've always felt this way. And by the way, I feel this way in baseball too. It's a little bit more challenging in baseball, but I would do it in these sports. The first 3 weeks of the season should be all divisional games. You should open your season against your division, and the last 3 weeks should be all divisional games.
It's interesting.
And everything in the middle is the interconference or the other division or everything else that fills out your schedule. Because I love that the last week is divisional, which Roger Goodell put in maybe 8-9 years ago, but I would go beyond that. 3 and 3. First 3 weeks, last 3 weeks.
I hate that.
Why?
Because now think of it this way. You only get, in theory, 6 weeks of divisional games to decide, okay, we only get a Steelers-Ravens, a Packers-Bears, to figure out in terms of like the 6 Sunday night games, let's call them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I like that those are kind of dispersed throughout because like those are crown jewel games. You're telling me only 6 of those are going to live on Sunday night football?
I'm trying to be fair. And I like the idea of them being spread out as much as possible and to do it early and late. Obviously, think about the Jets and the Giants. Think about the Giants the first 3 weeks of the year compared to now. Same with the Jets. It feels like a different universe.
I just think that you should probably just look at the two halves of the schedule and say you have to be complete by week 8 playing 3 division games.
I accept. I'm an easy negotiator. I'll take that.
I don't like the 2 out of 3 at any point, but do it that way.
Right. And then save the end as it is.
Right. Right. I'm fine with that.
Division games matter.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Because the Panthers and the Bucks are going to come down to probably the last game of the season.
Yeah. Right. But he's right. Like, Eagles-Washington, two out of the last 3 weeks is ridiculous. Now, it turns out not to matter, but going into the season, we thought, whoa, this is going to be the NFC East.
It's not going to matter because the Eagles could clinch this weekend.
They can, and Washington is out of it. They're basically tanking, like half the other teams in the league. John is in Fanwood, New Jersey. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, wanted to talk about the Steve Cohen tweet, but before I do that, I have my oldest, my 7-year-old son was a big Pete Alonso fan. He's a little shy, so I don't know if I could get him to talk, but he wanted to let you guys know that he was very upset that Alonso became an Oriole.
Well, what's his name?
So, his name is John as well.
John, I feel you. We all feel you. We're all with you, but I hate to tell you this, and I've said it to my kids too. Get used to it. Sports is about disappointment and losing our favorite players. Mm. With that said, I feel
you,
man. That's
what I tell them.
There, it's a good message.
That's what I tell them as a Met fan.
Yep.
Yes. So about the Cohen tweet, not that a $23 billion man cares what I think, but I think he should probably lay off the social media. But to that point, I don't think he was calling everybody that is a fan an idiot because he said the usual. Not that that makes it better, but I think he's specifically talking to the usual idiot fan that you get on Twitter.
Yeah, but who's the usual idiot?
I think he was right about the usual idiot fan.
Who's the usual
but
idiot?
You need clarity on that. You know, you can't. You can't use the idiot as the noun. It's got to be the adjective. Right. Well, and so, because then it clarifies.
But
so by lumping, just saying idiot, he lumped everybody into idiots. And every Met fan feels like, wait, is he talking about me?
But I also think, like, if this was a year ago after you signed Juan Soto and there was all this goodwill, I get it. Mm. I would almost understand it more. Met fans are upset. Just listen to our last caller. His 7-year-old is still upset.
Right.
So if a story comes out about payroll and how it may go down, instead of being defensive about it, just explain it. And which he ended up doing with the rest of his tweet, but he had to start it with your usual idiots. Like, there's a reason why Met fans are annoyed. And Steve should know this. He lectured everybody and said, come to the ballpark. I did my part. And he was right about that. And Met fans did. They set record numbers last year at Citi Field.
Right.
Now the team stinks. They basically collapsed over the last 3 months. It was a slow death. And you follow it up by making unpopular decisions. So this would be the moment to say, I understand, not you're an idiot. Know what I mean?
Mm,
Let us cry on your shoulder, Steve.
I do. But I'm kind of like looking back at the history of Met fans' relationship with Steve Cohen.
Yeah.
And I my emotion for it is weird because at the beginning, and you guys know this, and Sal was the ringleader.
Yeah.
King Cohen.
Yeah.
King Cohen.
That's
blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. Like, it just, what did you expect was going to happen if the team didn't win?
This is not for Sal to answer, mm-hmm. or it is for Sal to answer. I'm not going to answer for him because
I'm
he
talking
may...
about Met fans in general.
Okay.
Because
I'll give you that answer.
The bombast was so loud.
Yes.
And it's like that team or that athlete who hasn't done jack. yet is talking like they're the greatest champion in the world.
I'm going to give you an answer to this.
At some point, it comes to roost. It does. It has to. It always does.
I think the expectation was, and this is probably unfair.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I can't say Sal feels this way, and I certainly didn't feel this way. But I think a lot of fans said, oh, I know what he'll do when things go bad. He'll go full Steinbrenner, which is, I'm going to go spend even more.
Different
Let's
error.
Go Yankees. What the heck was that?
Why did you randomly play Tommy saying, let's go Yankees?
That wasn't
Yankee
Tommy.
Fan. He's trolling.
Is that what you're doing? I don't know. I anticipated you saying something about Hal Steinbrenner and what would Met fans do.
I was talking about his father. I was talking about George Steinbrenner. And I think that Cohen came in with a George Steinbrenner expectation. And in a lot of ways, he's very different. And in some ways, he's similar. I think if Twitter was around, George would have tweeted. I think he would have. I think he would have come out and said, Billy Martin's an ass. I think he would have fired Billy Martin on Twitter one of those times. So I think the answer to your question, the expectation, fair or not, was that he was going to take losing and say, I'm going to get angrier and spend even more.
Mm.
And I think instead of that, the response to losing has been, okay, we're going to do some different things, but they're difficult decisions that are alienating its fan base.
Yeah, I think what he really is doing is saying, I got to get smart about the business of this enterprise that I now own instead of I'm just going to run this like a fan. Because that's what it feels like. You're spending $350 every year. You're constantly in the Cohen tax. You're constantly overpaying, you know, by 100% on any of these deals that you're doing at the, post of, clearing that threshold, the TBT. And now you just can't, it's not sustainable. You can't do it over and over and over and over and over again, especially without ultimately winning the big one.
Anthony in Brooklyn. Anthony.
Hey, guys. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise.
You know, nobody can predict whether or not if Williams is going to do good if we was going to do good. But, you know, I'm really concerned, and I'm sure, that the Mets signed Williams because of the fact that, here's a guy that, like you guys were going over, has really failed under pressure, at the highest level. And now, to me, he signed as a setup guy. Instead of going out, being the alpha dog and saying, I want to be a closer somewhere, I don't know what offers he's got, but, he signs way ahead of Diaz, and Diaz could have came back. And he was too comfortable saying, yeah, I'll take that setup position.
But, Anthony, I don't know. And this is a big I don't know. And I give Sean credit for this. When Devin Williams signed, and we were all reassured, don't worry, they're still going after Edwin Diaz. I remember during Devin's press conference, Sean came to me and said, did you hear what Devin Williams said?
Mm-hmm.
I said, what did Devin Williams say? He said, he was asked, did you only talk to teams about being closers or being an eighth inning guy? And he said, quote, every team I talked to was about being a closer. And Sean said, do you take that as the Mets told him you're the closer? And I said, I don't think so, because I still think they're going after Edwin Diaz. But what is the truth? Like, literally, and I don't think Devin will ever tell us, and David will never tell us, David Stearns, did Devin Williams sign with the New York Mets? Like, when he told his wife and said, all right, hon, we're staying in New York, did he say to her, I'm going to be the closer? Or did he say, we'll see, I don't really know, it's 50-50. What did he think?
I think he thought, I like New York. I started to figure it out as the season went on with the Yankees, and I have two options here. I don't know where he lives, but he probably, I don't know, let's say Brooklyn somewhere, and he's just kind of like, this is kind of chill. I like this vibe. It's cool. It's close enough to the city. I want to be a Yankee or Met.
So he didn't care if he was closing or not. That's what your answer is.
That's what I'm saying. I think he wanted to be, obviously, the closer. Everybody wants to be the man.
Yeah, but our last caller is almost saying that he didn't.
But I think the deal mattered most.
Okay.
Whatever the deal was,
yeah,
mattered most.
I think it's tough to interpret Devin Williams' decision as he can't handle closing.
Yeah.
Because he thought he would come here and not be the closer when he very well may have had the attitude you just described, which is, I'm good with either.
Mm-hmm.
Or he may have had the attitude of, I'm pretty sure I am going to close.
Well, it's hard. Do you really want to start bouncing around and going everywhere? Like, maybe the deals from other teams weren't, because he didn't have a great season last year. I mean, at least from a statistical standpoint, there were moments where he was good. There were stretches, 11, 12 games, where he was really good. But is that getting you, quote unquote, paid on the open market? And now you're going to go to, I don't know, Cincinnati for a year and with an option. You're going to go someplace else the next year. Like, you don't want to keep bouncing around. And so it just becomes, I like it here in New York. I have two options here in New York, both of whom have had conversations. I don't know if he actually had deep conversation with the Yankees, but I'm sure he had some conversation
no,
with the Yankees.
No, zero.
And then,
I swear the Yankees had no interest, never even made him an offer.
Well, he got the Mets then.
Yes.
And so he got them to do a 3-year deal, and it's a pretty big number. And so why move? Why? I mean, it could be a
if you're a Jet
that.
Fan, I got nothing. I mean, sure, we're going to see Brady Cook, but the team stinks. They've come out awful defensively the last 2 weeks. We saw Aaron Glenn make a change at defensive coordinator, and we're in a dark place because I say to you, Tiki, when I sit there on Sunday, I'm going to root for my team to win because that's just a knee-jerk reaction. That's an emotion. You have to. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting there on Tankathon, and I know that draft pick positioning matters. So it's a weird juxtaposition to be in where, in one breath, when you watch your team play, I'm not sitting there rooting for Brady Cook to throw 4 interceptions.
Right.
But I also know that when the day is over, based on certain results, the New York Jets could be picking 9th in the NFL draft. They could be picking 2nd. And that is an extreme difference that could impact the franchise for the next decade.
Well, especially when you need a quarterback. It's one thing if you're the Giants and you feel pretty certain that Jackson Dart is your guy for the future. You care about where you're drafting, but it doesn't matter as much if you are the Jets and need a quarterback. Absolutely need one in this draft.
And so that's why this just sucks. Like, that's my description of Giants, Vikings, and Jets, Saints. It sucks. And, you know, we always talk about this, and you say, look, the players are competing. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially guys who may not have jobs next year. They're competing for their jobs. Same thing with coaches. In the Giants' case, Mike Kafka is still holding out hope. Hey, I can impress somebody, get a job. Aaron Glenn wants those wins on his resume. But Aaron Glenn did something earlier today that I thought was interesting. He officially announced that Garrett Wilson is done for the year. Maybe not a huge surprise.
Makes sense. He's been banged up all season long. That kind of injury doesn't just heal. It's one of those things that you just play with until the offseason type of thing.
Right.
And so you knew that he wasn't going to be 100% at any point, even if he did come back this year. But if you're playing at less than 100%, and it feels probably like it's a lot less than 100%, with nothing to play for, then what's the point?
Well, I also think it throws into the what's the point question. What is the point of winning? And so Aaron Glenn was even asked why the decision to shut Garrett Wilson down for the year. It's a quick answer, but take a listen.
We just felt it was best for him and for us as a team.
When he says best for our team, I got to tell you, and I think a lot of us take it this way, he's wink-winking at us because we're probably better off losing.
No, I don't think it's that. I think what he's saying is he might be, but he would never overtly say that.
Which is why he's not overtly saying it.
But I think what he's saying when he says best for the team is the more important thing relative to Garrett Wilson is that he's healthy going into 2026.
Sure.
Right. The last thing you need is this injury to be lingering come spring training camp, and then
such a baseball guy, Tiki.
No, right? You don't need it lingering in training camp, and there's questions about, hey, is Garrett Wilson going to start the season on the PUP list? You want him fully healthy. You want there to be no doubt come training camp.
Yeah. No, they need him healthy, especially if they're going to draft a young quarterback, because you want to have that young quarterback equipped to succeed.
Right.
And one of the ways you exceed is by having a young wide receiver to throw the football to. It's just, this is a dark Sunday. It just is, because I have fought with Jet fans over the years about wanting to win and tanking and all that. And I am so beaten up going into this weekend because I know they're better off losing. Like, I can't sit here and argue with anyone about what winning does. And one of the reasons I've lost this battle is I look at the defense, like 90% of the players aren't going to even be here. So, like, we talk about winning and building culture and building that towards next year, which I've argued many times. But I look at this roster and I'm like, these guys are going to be elsewhere.
Yeah, your immediate thought, and this is you as a fan, because you're thinking about it forward. But if you're Darren Mougie, the GM right now, your immediate thought is, how am I upgrading this roster?
Right.
Right. That probably has been the thought process for at least 2-3 weeks at this point. It was a point where Aaron Glenn had started to win a couple of games, and it was like, all right, maybe we can do a little something.
Sure.
You're not making a playoffs, but maybe we can do a little something. Maybe we can win 5 games to round out this season, or maybe even get to 6 and feel good about where we're going. But as soon as you realize that you really can't compete, your thought process has to go to, how am I upgrading this roster?
And the easiest
free agency, and more importantly, with all these picks in the draft.
Yeah, and right now they're better off finishing 3-14. And that's why Sunday sucks, because I'll be in front of the TV, And, Sean, you always like to say this now, what we're rooting for doesn't impact the result. Well, that's correct. The case in every sporting event we watch. We never impact the result, but it doesn't change your emotions while watching your team play.
Well, yeah, but now I think, because this is me growing as a human being. When I sit down on Sunday, you sit down on Sunday, you could root for the Jets to win and root for the Giants to win, but that's rooting. It doesn't mean what you also technically want to happen when the game is over.
Right.
I'm separating those things. That's my growth as a fan.
Right. And the Jets have a ton of cap space.
I know. Yeah. They've got so many ways to improve this roster.
108?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
$108 million. And so free agency is a viable growth or viable reset option for them. Obviously the draft as well, but certainly via free agency.
They're going to overhaul this roster in a major, major, major way.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, even watching, it's like, well, what are you watching for?
Yeah. The challenge is, it's only been a season. But the one thing that kind of makes you go, about the start of the season was the Justin Fields deal.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
I get wanting Justin Fields. You didn't need to pay him $40 million.
No, it was a mistake. It was a mess up.
And so,
it was a big mess up.
I get it. And it's the first time head coach, first time GM. They made a mistake. But you can't do dumb stuff like that.
No.
You just can't. You cannot afford to whole a year by making bad decisions like that.
No. And what I think is going to be fascinating is if they don't get the number one pick, mm-hmm. or there's a team picking number one that is not interested in trading back, like the Las Vegas Raiders, what will they do at the quarterback spot?
Yeah.
Because if they decide to toll it another year, what veteran are they going to? Like, they just already screwed up the first time.
I know.
So, I don't know.
Evan, tomorrow night, TNT. Dante Moore, the Oregon quarterback, is likely to be the second guy.
But he may not be coming out this year. There's a good chance Dante Moore is going to stay for next year.
Or tonight, we're already in college football playoff.
Yeah.
Ty Simpson
and John Mathier.
John Mathier. I like Mathier.
Yeah, a little Baker in him.
Yeah.
Lugie said that.
Just a little short, though. That's the one thing that gets to me.
Well, that's the thing about Mathier and Pavia. I think they're both like Baker, but they're short.
Yeah. Since you guys are such college football experts, I do have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Sean, the Nick Saban clip, please.
Oh, you want Nick Saban?
That's right, because Nick Saban made a comp to James Madison being in the college football playoff that I was like, whoa, okay, that's an interesting comp. And I freely admit, one of the things I think is very important in life is knowing what you know and knowing what you don't know. And I always admit with you guys, I am the definition of casual college football. I only watch college football to scout guys for the Jets and the Giants.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I'm only deep into it because I call college football games.
I get you. But
just,
I want
to. You just learn a little bit calling some of these games.
Well, I want you to teach us something, all of you, since all you know. Tommy's a college football expert too. He claims Sean's a college football expert. I'm going to play you a clip of Nick Saban comparing James Madison being in the college football playoffs to something else. And I want you guys to tell me if this is a good comp or Nick Saban has lost his mind. Take a listen.
Would we allow the winner of the AAA Baseball League, the International League, whatever they call it, I don't even know the name of it, would you let them in the World Series playoffs?
Now, let's just excuse that it's not the World Series playoffs. It's just the MLB playoffs.
Right.
He is comping James Madison being in the college football playoff to basically the Scranton Yankees being allowed into the MLB playoffs. Is that an accurate comp?
I mean, we'll find out. The difference with college is that you can have some of these smaller FCS-type schools have so much talent, especially now with NIL. Like you spend the money, you could get the right quarterback, you have the whatever, your coach that's hot at the moment, and they can beat some of the better teams. It is very rare. I know nothing about this JMU team. I didn't see them play at all this year. But if they get destroyed, it is going to force the CFP to never let this happen again.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of college football playoff games when they were in the four-team format actually were blowouts even with the big schools versus the big schools, and that's something to keep in mind here. As far as it being a comp like that, I mean, it's not a fair comp because here's the difference. There's only 30 Major League Baseball teams. I've lost track. Is it 30 or 32 now? What are we working
on? 30.
The only sport with 32 is the NFL.
All right. See, all right.
Doesn't hockey have like 31 now or something?
I'm done asking hockey questions this week. We'll move on to next week. It's not fair. And also, if you watch the NCAA tournament, we all can't wait. Tiki closure is for UMBC to beat a Virginia. That's the element they're trying to create here by inviting those two teams.
By the way, you know who Virginia
is. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
His head coach is now.
Who?
The head coach of UMBC.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That guy left UMBC and became the coach of Virginia?
Yeah. Tony Bennett's not the coach of Virginia anymore?
No, retired before last season.
I forgot about that.
That's incredible.
Down, honestly, because of the NIL stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a different way of recruiting.
And that's the thing. With NIL, with these small schools, this is how you grow something. Maybe they can compete in a few years now, but they won't be able to if you don't give them the revenue.
So what was your answer? Is it yes or no?
It's not the same comp,
not
and they're building
comp.
Something. Not
okay.
A good comp.
Good comp and bad comp?
Terrible comp. Sean hit on it. The NCAA tournament, that's what we love, the Cinderella teams. And how many bad teams did Coach Saban schedule to play Alabama, Citadel, to fatten up their schedule
all
every
right,
year.
But James Madison, they played Weber State. They played. They got destroyed. Not destroyed. They lost by 2 touchdowns to Louisville, who finished, I don't know, 4th and 5th in the ACC. They beat Liberty. They beat Georgia Southern. They beat Georgia State. They beat Louisiana. Not LSU. Louisiana. Texas State and Old Dominion. And then Marshall and App State.
And these haven't beat so
good teams.
But what are we looking to do here? Just have the SEC and Big Ten only be invited to the college football playoff? You got to include the little guy. And if they get their ass kicked, they get their ass kicked.
I'm just curious if that comparison, which resonates with me as a baseball fan, I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty rough.
But they might
lose. And
you're
all saying no.
I think Saban's point is they might lose this game by 40.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that going to look like?
We'll shut it off early.
Yeah, we'll be on to Bears Packers.
Yeah. We'll move on to something else. Sure. Let's go to JR in Somerville. Hey, JR.
Hey, guys. First thing with that JMU point, I mean, 12 of those guys from JMU went with Cignetti to Indiana. Indiana's half their team is from JMU, and I think he took about 10 or 12 coaches with him. So,
JR. Let's not act like Indiana's been a powerhouse for a decade. You know what I mean?
But this team is powered by JMU transfers and a coach that came over from there. So they should get a little bit more credit than that is all I'm saying.
All right,
see. But, hey, I didn't call about that. And I have a point and a request for Evan. First is the point, and it's who I know who Cohen's talking to. He's talking to Beningo. He's talking to guys like me who call him Slumlord Steve, okay? He's talking to people who can see the facade, okay? Because when we're that close to winning a couple years ago, you know, Slumlord Steve and his building super David Stearns, they got to realize that we've lived in this dilapidated building forever, okay? So to Steve Cohen, you know, it's a pain in the ass to get, you know, to get cable into our house, pay $200 a month to watch your crappy product, to get out there to see the games. And really, as a payroll watcher, you know, the problem isn't with the dollars spent, it's with the aggression, okay? This guy, Stearns, is making him look bad because I don't like the way Stearns is communicating through these negotiations. I don't like the aggression of the money and how it's spent. If the Dodgers and the Braves are in on Diaz, you match that deal. I don't care. So that's the first thing that I get to.
No, I get you.
All right. Now, Evan.
Yeah.
Adam Ottavino is, he wants to be in the media. He wants to talk. He wants to run his mouth. Yes. I don't know how you haven't had him on the Rico Bronya podcast or on the station for that matter, because he'll probably tell you everything. And there's a lot of things I would like for you to ask him.
The thing about Adam Ottavino, because we thought about having him on after he made those comments about, what was the comment? Oh, about the misuse of the bullpen.
Yeah.
He walked it back like a day later.
Yeah.
Like he did an interview and he's like, you know what I mean? And at that point, it's like, we're going to put him on and have him walk everything back.
Right. You already did. So can you explain why you said it first one way and then why you walked it back?
I think Adam does want to be in the media, but I also think he doesn't want to be the guy that's like
inflammatory,
scandalous.
Right.
Yeah. So but
he doesn't want to ruffle feathers.
With that said, we should probably have him on anyway just to find out. And if he's boring and doesn't want to say anything, all right, it's one and done.
This is a good time to remind Tiki. Tiki, while you're away, we discussed all the new producing work on the show. Evan's the executive producer. I'm going to hit the controls. You're the guest booker of the show, so you might want to get on Ottavino there for us.
Nice.
Yeah, because you know everybody, so.
I do.
I mean, Adam Ottavino. Is that his,
well, you know Adam Ottavino.
Do I?
Didn't you have him on your?
No, I've never had Adam on.
Who did you have on your?
Rico Bronya.
You had Adam Wainwright.
Oh, Adam Wainwright. Good call.
Eric Hosmer, the people you all hate.
Yeah, I mean, slightly
Hosmer,
different.
Right, yeah.
Slightly different.
It's not different. I mean, it is, but it's kind of not. How did you get him? How did you get Adam Wainwright?
Well, no. I meant they're different in terms of who they are. One guy is a borderline Hall of Famer who stuck it to my team. The other one had a nice little career as a reliever.
I think what Tiki's trying to say is if you found a guy that was close to being a Hall of Famer, surely you could book Adam Ottavino. Right.
That's true. That's a good point.
Tiki, right. I see what you're doing, by the way. That's something I would do. Push your back on Evan. I love that.
All right, fair enough. I'll book Adam Ottavino. We'll pick a day in January and pick his brain and see if he still has strong opinions. I don't know. Because I did get the sense that he doesn't want to be like this jerk who's like, this guy sucks. That guy sucks.
Does he still think he could strike out Babe Ruth?
Do you remember that, Tiki? When Adam Ottavino signed with the Yankees.
I vaguely remember that.
Like one of the first things he said was, I would strike out Babe Ruth. And by the way, he wasn't necessarily wrong because Babe would be like 125 years old. So I'm sure he'd be able to strike him out.
Yeah.
It's an old Ty Cobb joke. But it just was not the way you want to introduce yourself to Yankee fans.
No.
You don't want to just say, hey, I would strike out Mickey Mantle, you losers. Like, that's not a way.
By the way, he probably would, given how baseball is different.
No, I agree. That's why, like, it's not even about Adam
being
wrong.
Probably right. But
it's just
you
why.
Don't say it.
Yeah, don't say it. Keep that to yourself. Jerome in Hazlitt, New Jersey. Hey, Jerome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. What's going on?
All's good.
Well, listen, I'm calling because I want to talk about the NFL schedule or the future of the NFL schedules.
Yeah.
The writing's on the wall that it's probably going to be 18 games, you know, sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And there's probably going to be a second bye week that's going to be put in there. So it's probably going to be, you know, six games, bye week, and then, you know, the final six games. The extra game that they add is probably going to be a non-conference game. So you're going to have six non-conference games, 12 conference games. If they play all the non-conference games thoroughly before the first bye week, then you play your conference games the middle of the season, you leave all the six division games for the end of the year. That means you're guaranteed, and you won't have any division rival two times in 3 weeks. You'd have them like once every 4 weeks.
Right.
But you would guarantee after the first 12 games of the season, if you're 6-6 and you have a division rival who's 12-0, you still have a shot, a guaranteed shot.
shot.
I like that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I like it, but I don't like it. Like, yeah. I get your point of keeping yourself mathematically alive so you keep the season going longer in terms of having hope.
Yes.
But I wouldn't want to just have divisional games the last 6 weeks of the year. Feels like too much.
Yeah. Because then you don't get a feel of where the other teams in the conference or the NFL in general are compared to you. It's just like, it's just you and your division.
Right.
And that's, and you can't set up a rematch, like a late season rematch. They beat them to whatever, get into the playoffs, and now they face them again in the NFC Championship game, or whatever it may be. I think it's not as informative. It's interesting, but it's not as informative to the rest of the league.
I have an extreme idea. I may have mentioned this once before, and the reason I think it makes sense is I thought about doing this in our fantasy baseball league, but I legally can't. Like, it just doesn't allow me to do this.
Okay.
And that was, there are 22 weeks in a fantasy baseball season. The whole schedule is set, but the 23rd week, the last week of the year, will automatically be first place versus second place, third place versus fourth place, and so on. So in a 17-game season, if we went back to the old format of how the schedule was made, and week 18 was left open, it was an open game, and it gets created the week before based on your first-place team in a division takes on the second-place team in a division, and the third team plays in a division plays a fourth place. So you get a third divisional game based on the standings and probably gives a team.
So it's like a floating schedule.
It's a floating schedule and a floating game.
Hard no.
Why?
That was Pete. That wasn't me.
What do you think of that idea?
I don't hate it. However, Evan, you know, you're big on setting up your travel plans. How could you be the guy who needs the baseball schedule in June?
No, you can't for this one. This one, right. And remember, because it's a divisional rival, you know that it'll at least be relatively close geographically. But like in this case, it would be an extra Bills-Patriots game. Is that appealing to anybody?
So I need a fourth Bills-Patriots game in the postseason?
Third. You're going to see it again.
Yeah. And then a fourth. Yes. Yeah. You don't think that would add to the intrigue of a season? Because right now, the 17th game is a non-conference game based on where you finished in the standings. That's how the Jets played the Cowboys. Right. That's how the Giants played the Patriots. There's really no strong meaning to it. It's just, how do we add a 17th game? I'm saying that 17th and maybe eventually 18th game is a floating game based on the standings.
I'm more open to it.
So what happens to the bottom teams? They just play the other bottom teams?
Right, the Jets will play the Dolphins again.
And then you have people screaming about that they don't want to win the game because of tanking. That's brutal.
Well, I think
that's how you can end up figuring out the draft picks.
That would be bad for the downside. The bottom side, it would suck. Because you'd have teams playing their practice squad.
So you have to play the game anyway. We currently have. What's the difference?
The last 2 weeks, you'd have teams not trying at all.
Well, but you have that anyway, bro. You have that anyway. And that's a different issue the NFL needs to address, which we've talked about. There needs to be a lottery, or there needs to be a new system in terms of draft pick order, because this is a problem. Dude, the Commanders are holding out Jaden Daniels. The Jets are holding out Garrett Wilson. Tommy's coming on the radio saying, we should start Russell Wilson. And I'm not attacking your point. I'm saying, if these are arguments we're making, doesn't that show you the system is broken?
Of course.
So that's a separate issue, guys. That's a completely separate issue. But in terms of a floating game, I think the idea is fantastic.
I don't mind the floating game. I would just get away from it ever being a division game. I think you make it interconference. You know what I mean?
What's the point of that?
What do you mean, what's the point of that? You know the wild card's a thing, right, Evan?
Yeah, but it doesn't have the same. There's no tiebreakers involved. Come on, you can't do that.
What do you mean there's no tiebreakers involved?
If you're playing a team in another conference, they're not competing for a wild
card.
No,
not another conference. Within. NFC versus NFC, AFC versus AFC.
Intra.
Well, he said inter.
I know. Intra.
Okay. Thank you. We'll save that for Idiots with Idioms next week.
Oh, that's just misunderstanding the two different words.
Yeah, that's just also getting mad at me for interpreting you correctly and then saying, but that's not what I meant. Well, you said something completely different.
I corrected him.
You know what? I'm wrong. I need to admit when I'm wrong. Mr. Roberts, I was wrong there.
Yes.
Intra. Thank you, Sean. Inter. The reason he said that, Tiki, is while you were gone, my dad made an observation to me. Big fan of Sean. Okay. He said, Sean never admits he's wrong about sports takes.
Really?
And so now Sean is going out of his way to admit that he's wrong.
Well, that wasn't a sports take. That was just English.
Which we're all wrong about. Tune in at 5:30 with our very special edition of Idiots with Idioms.
I can't wait for that one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.